Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Today I'm going to read from you from Mark chapter 9. If you want to turn your Bibles there and follow along, you can. Be continuing there. I read from Mark chapter 9 last week, and we're just going to continue. I think in the weeks to come we'll spend some time in Hebrews, talking about who Jesus is for us. But today let's spend some more time in the story about what Jesus is doing for His disciples. Let's start at verse 38, and we'll read to verse 50. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop, because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go to hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other." So last week, we talked about how Jesus had encountered a boy who had a demon, and the demon shook the boy violently, but Jesus was able to drive the demon out. And the disciples asked him, "What happened? Why couldn't we do this?" And he said, "This only comes out with prayer." And we use that story to talk about the call that God has on us to enter into a prayerful relationship with our Lord, and to be continually asking God, "What do you have for us in my life?" And to be asking of Him during this transition, "Lord, what do you have for the church? And where is our future?" And so in where we are now in Mark chapter 9 is the disciples, we can assume, have taken on this message. We are going to pray, and we are going to enter into this relationship with God, and we're going to move forward with what God has for us. But they say to Jesus, "There is somebody out there who has not entered into this relationship with you. They are not as close as we are. They are not praying like we are, but they are still talking about you." But they're not one of us. They're not disciples. They are not one of the ones that you said, "Drop everything and follow me." And so we should tell them to stop, shouldn't we? And Jesus says, "No. Don't stop them. If they are speaking the word of Jesus, if they have come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus has come for our salvation, don't stop them, even if they're not quite like you are, even if they haven't committed in the same way that you have." One of my favorite passages of Scripture that has been shared multiple times for me from evangelists, from preachers, Bible studies, ministry conventions, whatever it is the Great Commission, right? You're probably very familiar with that. Matthew chapter 28, just before Jesus goes to be with the Father, he says, "Therefore I tell you, go and make disciples." And it is a big verse that it compels us that we are called to go to make disciples throughout the world. And that passage of Scripture is often used for us as a catalyst for evangelism. Find someone who doesn't know Christ and share with them the love of Christ. Share with them what God has done in your life, that they would come and they would turn from the way of life they were in and they would now follow after God. And this passage of Scripture has often been used as a way of saying, evangelize, evangelize, evangelize. Find someone who is not a Christian and share with them the good news of Christ so that they can become a Christian. But one of the things I love about that passage of Scripture is it says, go and make disciples. It doesn't say go and evangelize. It says go and make disciples. And now, it doesn't take away any at all the call to evangelism that I've heard growing up all my life. We are indeed called to evangelism. But what Jesus is saying to us is our calling to go and make disciples means we are helping people grow in the faith no matter where they are in their faith. They could be strong Christians who have joined us in the call to prayer, have a strong relationship with God. And guess what? When I talk with you, I still get to share with you what God's doing in my life because we are still called to make disciples. And you get to share what God's doing in your life and let me be built up and become a better disciple because of while you are interacting with me. I'm not called to decide, are you a Christian or not, before I talk to you about Jesus. I just get to talk to you about Jesus and tell you what God's doing and let God continue to do that work and we grow as disciples together. Isn't that awesome that we don't have to first have a judgment about one another? You're good enough, you're not good enough before I share with you the good news of Christ? No, Jesus just said, go and make disciples. We are bringing people no matter where they are in their faith, far away, close to God, we're just helping bring them closer and helping us grow in faith. And that's kind of what the Great Commission has always been about, and that's what Jesus is getting at here in Mark chapter 9. They say, wait a minute, there are some people who haven't joined us in this call to prayer. There are some people who haven't dropped everything, didn't leave their nets behind, didn't leave their family behind to follow you wherever you're going. But yet they're still talking about you. And Jesus says, this is good. Do not stop. And even if they do something as simple as giving a cup of water in my name, they have received the reward. In the Church of the Nazarene, we are not very particular about who goes to heaven. We don't say you have to be in this church to make it. We have a particular way in which we understand the scriptures that we have written down that say, okay, so this is how we're going to call our people to live faithfully to God. These are some of the things we believe and some of the things that we stand for. And if you go to another church, there might be some differences, right? But yet we believe, they still believe in Jesus, and they may have seen something else that came out of the scriptures and emphasized something else. But they're still receiving the reward, that we can still be engaged, whether it's in an ecumenical community activity, whether it's still in Christian discipleship and discussion together, we can do that. Because what we realize is we have been called to that which is explicit, that which is said directly in Scripture, how we are to live, but the things that still take interpretation, the things that we still might differ on, as long as we are following Christ, we still receive the reward. This is what Jesus says when he says, whoever gets the cup, gives the cup, receives the reward. And so this means for us, we should not let other things get in the way of the faith that we have. And so he says, whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it's better if they were thrown into the sea. Now, usually when we hear that phrase, when Matthew uses that phrase, when Luke uses that phrase, they're talking about children. Don't cause the little children to stumble. But in this context, Mark isn't talking about children. He's talking about the very people that the disciples just complained about. When he says these little ones, I think it's just a diminutive phrase of saying these people who have not yet come along the same way that you have in the faith. Or as we read in 1 Peter, those who are still babes in Christ, those who are still learning the ways of faith and following Jesus. Don't cause them to stumble because they're not where you are yet. Don't cause them to stumble because though they believe, they're not following in the same ways that you follow. Mark is saying to us, it is better to lose our life or an aspect of our life than to cause someone to lose their faith. The number one reason Jesus came to earth was to restore us to relationship with God. This is the number one reason. The God who restores, who raises from the dead. The God who loves us. He wants to restore us to relationship with Him. If anything at all gets in the way of someone's restoration with God, turning away from their sin and following God in love, we have failed. And so it means, when Jesus starts talking about, you know, if something happens, it is better for you to lose a hand, to lose a leg, to out an eye, than He means it, because there should be nothing that gets in the way of our relationship with God. So in our life, if there is something that gets in the way of someone else, we need to be willing to lose to get rid of that thing. We must not allow a minor thing to detract from the main thing of faith. Why hold on to things that are not important when God has already promised freedom from sin and death, the greatest thing that He offers for us, not to let anything get in the way of that. So Jesus just hammers this home. It's almost like this slight ramble. It is better if to be thrown in the sea with a millstone. There's no way you're swimming with a millstone around your neck. It's better to have your hand cut off, your leg cut off. It's better to have your eye out. It's better for anything that one of these terrible things to happen than for us to get in the way of someone's relationship with God. And Jesus says all these things, not to teach self-mutilation, but to say all of these things would pale in comparison to affecting somebody's eternal life. So for us, if there is something that we think someone needs to abide by in order to be a true follower of Christ, we need to be willing to get rid of that. If we think, well, you need to have the same background or come from the same way we are, we need to turn away from that background. If we think someone needs to follow the same hobby or have the same practice as us, then we need to stop that because that is getting in the way. If we think someone needs to be a part of the same party as us, then we got to lose that. If we think someone needs to be in the same group or club and that group or club is causing us to sin, we need to leave it. If there is anything in our life that we think, you know what, to be a true Christian, you need to follow in this way or be a part of the same way of life I am in, then we are detracting from what really matters. And that is that they have come to know that there is a God who loves them, will save them, and just wants to have a relationship with them. And so for us as a church, as we continue to pray, God, what are you going to do in our life? And what are you going to do in the life of this church? We need to be able to say, whoever we meet and wherever they are in their life, if we can help them know that there is a God who loves them, a God who wants to live with them and be close to them and help them see that they can turn to Him in every aspect of their life, then we have indeed followed the Great Commission. Then we have been the church God has called us to be because we are going and making disciples. For Jesus says to us, let them come. Don't turn them away. His last words for us is to be at peace with one another. This is our goal as Christians. As God has loved us and saved us, been gracious to us, we're to reflect that graciousness and that love through peace with one another, even when there is differences. That we would just come to say, you know, the main thing for us is that we are following God and we're going to be faithful to Him wherever He leads us. This is our goal. Because we are who we are, how God has made us, and because the people whom God has called us to live at peace with are exactly to whom we are witnessing and making disciples. He says to us, have salt in yourselves, because salt for them was a way of preserving and making a difference. I mean, it's kind of weird to say it now. I mean, now if someone says you're salty, they mean that you like took a loss really hardly, or they mean like you're just really upset with somebody. I mean, that's kind of like what I've learned right now in our culture. If someone says you're salty, they mean you lost the competition and you're just upset, or they mean you're angry because it's a way of saying like the salt of your tears has flavored who you are. It's this really put down kind of way. But when Jesus says, do not lose your saltiness, what He is saying is this. The salt that preserves the faith and flavors and changes and makes a difference in the food around it. And so for us as Christians, we have been called to preserve and be that beacon of hope here in Cape Elizabeth and the towns and cities around that you abide in. And we have called indeed to make a difference in the community around us. This is who we are. And this is who God has called us to be. And if we continue to be faithful to that in the future, I believe God will continue to restore people to relationship with Him. And we will find indeed that God is still in the saving business. And we are still called to join Him in evangelism and sharing that good news and finding that indeed people will come and know who He is. What a blessing indeed to know that God has invited us along in that journey. And God has invited us along in that journey no matter where we are. Wherever you find yourself today, if you find yourself saying, you know, I came here this morning knowing that there is a God who loves me and is with me. He has been faithful to me all these years and I know it and I came here to celebrate that. Great. God calls you to continue to help Him work in the lives of the people that he puts in your life. But if you came here today saying, you know what, I don't know where I am with God right now. If you find yourself saying, you know, I don't know if I'm close as I should be. Know this, God still invites you and calls you along because he says, I want you to still be able to know that you can be saved from your sins and you can be, draw closer to God. Wherever you are today, this is how God invites you to come and follow me. And invites us to join together in lifting one another up. You'll find opportunity to do that every Sunday as you're here for worship. You'll find opportunity to do that if you join a small group and talk to Fred about, hey, I want to be a part of that, lifting each other up. And you'll find opportunity in the lives of the people God puts in your way and puts in front of your face. And you'll be surprised if you have ears to hear how God wants to work in your life and eyes to see that here is someone that God has called to make a disciple. That we will find that indeed we are doing the work God has called us to do and we are making a difference in the lives of those around us. This is the word of the Lord for us today. I'd like to say a quick prayer for you before we go to song. Heavenly Father, thank you for the call in our life to be a people who don't just come to know your salvation and pray for our own benefit and our own sake. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the promise of eternal life. We are so thankful for the freedom of sin that you give us. But Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that you are the God who has called us, that in thankfulness, in praise for what you have done for us, you have called us to share that joy, to share that grace, and to let the world around us know that you are the God who's still at work in our lives and in this community. So Heavenly Father, today, I pray that you would help us indeed to welcome people into the faith, whether it is by us giving the first word of good news to them or us coming alongside of them and helping them when they struggle. Or just sharing in the joys of those who continue to be good witnesses to us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us wherever we are. And help us, Lord, to love people wherever they are, that we may all grow closer to you. I pray this in Jesus' name.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.